Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, and we'll be reading from chapter 16, 19. Luke 16, 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, Then they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded to one, though one rise from the dead. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and we pray that you speak to us this morning, Lord, and we will listen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters. For me, I don't know about you, for me, this verse in the Bible frightens me. I get very scared, and I not only scared, it wakes me up. It shakes me up, you know. And it reminds me, as a Christian, as a believer in Christ, how important it is to be busy. I use the word busy because many of us, now we are born again, we know the word, we do things. We forget about the things that the Lord wants us to do. As Christians, we forget that till the Lord comes to take us, till the Lord comes to take us, there is no retirement for us as Christians. It is work, work, work. We can't just become quiet Christians. We can't just mind our own business Christians. But we got to do what God wants us to do. Now, we know this story in the Bible. I'm sure you all know this story, and I knew it has. But today, I got a different version to it. A version, like I say, when I speak to the Lord, you know, He speaks to us in different times, in different ways. This is today's version. Today, I have been troubled for a few months now by one person who I constantly see on the high street. He's a homeless person. And I passed him for a few years now, you know. And I always feel like doing something for him. At the same time, you know, I get put off something. It just doesn't happen. But when I read this in the Bible, and it always reminds me of that man. And I'm sure there are a lot of Lazaruses around, enough for each one of us to at least see one a day. Now, the rich man in this story, I believe, is you and me. Yes, it's not talking about richness of the world, but you and me are rich with the word. You and me are rich with the knowledge of God. And I see the beggar, Lazarus, to be the unbeliever who is not poor really in, you know, in our kind of way of poor and riches, distinction between money, how much you have, and if you have money, you're rich. If you don't have money, you're poor. But I see this as poor in spiritually poor. Somebody who does not know the word. Somebody who is lost, who's living in a lost world. I see Lazarus to be that person. I see people on the street to be those people who are poor. Even though some of them have money and things, they're still poor. And some of them who don't have anything and they are poor spiritually. And we pass these people. We pass these Lazarus every day probably in our life. You know? Lazarus the beggar, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Well, I think the crumbs are a change that we drop into these people now and again. You know, we tend to feel guilty and then we drop a few pennies and, you know, for that moment we feel a bit all right. Now, I'm not trying to tell you, make you feel guilty about anything over here, but I feel it's important that we know that as Christians, we need to be busy. We need to do things. If it's in front of us, we need to rectify it. Now, I've preached this word to people. I've spoken about this. I've referred to this to many people, including my dad, who I feel terribly scared for, which is my family, who are not saved. And this tells us clearly that you only have one chance in this lifetime. And once you're gone, there is no chance. You cannot move places. And there are a lot of people who believe that if you're good, no matter what religion you are, whoever you worship, if you're good and you do enough of charity and you do these things, then all roads lead to the same God. You and me know that's wrong. You and me know that that is the devil deceiving big time. Because the Bible tells us that unless we receive the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart and proclaim Him as Lord and God and personal Savior, we are not going anywhere. We are not going to receive that reward. We are not going to go there. And so it's important for brothers and sisters, for you and me, to look out for such people. We don't have to look out. I'm sure, you know, you have seen a Lazarus sitting somewhere by your thing. Now, he doesn't have to be sitting on the road or street. He can be happily in his own house as well. You know, that does not make him like, because he's a beggar, he has to be on the street or he has to be homeless. You know, this Lazarus can be anywhere around you. Can be living happily in opposite your house, who you see every single day. You say hello to them, but you yet ignore in passing on the knowledge that the Lord has given you, the richness that you possess of the kingdom to share with that Lazarus. You know, there'll come a time when you cannot. There will come a time when we will meet people face to face. I'm sure you don't want to be on the side with Abraham and look out on the other side and see loved ones over there. You know, I think that would be the worst thing. I don't know how I would be, but I know it would be horrible. or even to see your neighbor or people who you know, people you've seen every single day who you love. You know, the Bible says love your neighbor, and I'm sure we love people around us who we know. And to see them on the other side, I don't think it would be a very joyful stay up there. And to avoid that, we need to attend to these people, dear friends. I feel as Christians, we can sometimes become very quiet. You know, I know for sure, I like to always speak about myself because then I know I'm speaking the truth. Because I know, you know, there were times when I was a very busy Christian, and then there was times when I, you know, not so busy, and then there are times when I'm not busy at all. And I do know that it's not right. You know, I know I'm not supposed to go crazy on streets and places, and I think you don't have to do that. But there are ways that the Lord would like you to, you know, spread the knowledge that He's given you, to spread the richness, the riches that He's given you, you know, to spend a few crumbs, you know, share a few crumbs with the Lazaruses around you. It won't do you any harm. Because that's what we as Christians are called to do. Generosity with money and care for the poor was taught in the Old Testament as well. In Deuteronomy 14:28, Deuteronomy 29:15, Deuteronomy 3:14, Malachi 6:10 and 11, all speak about being generous. All speak about attending to the poor. All speak about giving to the poor. And this is the Old Testament. And Jesus showed us that in the New Testament. He lived it out. And if we, being Christian, means followers of Christ, don't do these things, then we might land up in the same fate as this rich man. You know, nobody wants to go there, especially us, because we know what's there. As I said, the rich man, to me, my opinion, is the Christian, rich with knowledge of God's word, and the poor man, the unbeliever, not because he's poor, because he doesn't have money, but because he's spiritually poor. And the believer needs to feed the poor spiritually, as well as with material. There are times when I was sent out from our church to go to places and speak to people, and I went out and I met people who were suffering, dying of different kinds of disease, and the last thing they wanted was for you to tell them that it'll be all right without doing anything for them. The last thing you want somebody who's in pain for you to go there and tell them that, you know, oh, don't worry, it'll be okay. I'm praying for you. It doesn't sound good. And I tell you, I was there. It doesn't feel good as well. You know, we are called to feed the poor. You first feed them, you know. Give them the thing that they need right away. And then they will be able to listen to what you have to say. Then they would be able to take in what you have to say. Many years ago, there used to be a big joke because I used to study in a RC school, and we had this priest over there. And you know, a lot of people used to come, poor people from the congregation, like with kids in those days. People were really poor because husbands, we had a big problem in those days with drinking. So most of the husbands used to be spending their money on drinking. So he had families with kids, you know, really poor. And they used to come to this priest, like, and he is, you know what, he used to always tell them, like, he used to first bless them and say, God bless you. And he listened to their problems and say, don't worry, my child, and I'll say a prayer for you. Everything will be all right. You know, nothing was going to be all right. Maybe if he had to give them a loaf of bread and say, take this home and feed your children, things would have been all right. But, you know, there are a lot of us like that. We believe that, you know, oh, we don't have to do that. That's for God to do. And who are we? You think the Lord saved us? You think the Lord picked us up from this vast universe filled with black, white, yellow, brown people everywhere in the world? We are handpicked for nothing? So that we may just go aside, separate ourselves and, you know, do our bit of Bible reading, do our bit of coming to church and living a quiet life, and that's going to please the Lord? No, I don't think so. Because if that was the case, the Lord would have said over here in the Bible, he would have said, once you give yourself to the Lord, lead a quiet life. Don't involve yourself. No. We are here for a reason. We are here to carry on what the Lord started. To be kind to people, to spread love, godly love. The love of Jesus Christ. The love that he shown to you and me on that cross. We did not deserve it. We were poor, just like Lazarus. We were stinking with sores. Probably the dogs also wouldn't lick us. Like, we were filthy rags, the Bible tells us. But because of the Lord's grace, his love for you and me, we are what we are today. We know the Lord. We are safe. And we need to show that same love to other people. It does not matter what they are, how they are, where they are. We need to channel that same love and pass it on. After all, if you don't do that, how is love going to grow in this world? Is it going to be just in one place, in little pockets, where we are, and just remain right there? Is that what the Lord wants? The Lord wants us to spread his love, spread his grace. You know, by speaking the word, we could, but we have to first attend to people, show them love, show them that, you know, there is a difference. There is a reason why, you know, our God is so good and our God is so big. It's because he's different. He doesn't demand things from us. He doesn't put it here that, you know, you have to do this. But it has to come from within you. It has to come naturally. You don't want to be forced to go there. Now I'm telling you this today. And then I wouldn't want you to just go and stand out there and try and, like, you know, go and force yourself. It won't be good. It won't be right. It won't be real. It has to come from within you. It has to come from your heart. You have to feel love for somebody else from within you. Not because I'm telling you, or not because pastor's telling you, or because another Christian brother or sister's telling you. It's because God wants you to be that way. It's because the Jesus who you claim to be a follower of wants you to be that way. He doesn't want you to just throw a bit of crumbs to the Lazaruses you see around over there. Probably he wants you to sit down with them for 5 minutes or 2 minutes and speak a few kind words to that person. You know, because there are 10 people walking about passing Lazarus and just saying he deserves that, what's happened to him. It's because of his fault he's like that. Don't give him anything, because if you give him anything, he's going to buy himself a beer. How often have you heard that? No. We are different from such people, dear brothers and sisters. It makes a difference if you spare a few kind words when you meet a Lazarus, when you see a Lazarus around you. You know, you might not be able to straight away speak the word to that person, But your actions towards that person will speak that word for you. You know, the Holy Spirit says, when we can't speak, He speaks for us. You know, it does not mean that verbally only, our actions speak. You know, that's what the Lord wants you and me to do. This word, dear friends, I am scared of it, and I'm still scared of it. Every single day I live, I think about Lazarus. Every single day I live, I think about him. Even when I'm not reading my Bible, I think about this. I don't want to be in that position. You see, even though Father Abraham, this rich man asked him to send somebody, you know, to his brothers, he refused. He said no, but in reality, he did send Jesus, you know, because God is good. You know, he might do something just to make us better, to, what's the word? Well, I can't get the word now. But yeah, he might do things and say no at times to us, but he always grants our request in some form or the other. You know, maybe not right away. You know, maybe at that point he said no to him. But he did send Jesus. Jesus did come. And I'm sure, as we know, even after Jesus coming, a lot of them didn't believe. And there are a lot of them today who don't believe. You know, even though we have the word today, every single person can possess the word. Personal, it's very own personal Bible you can have. People still refuse to believe. People still refuse to believe in what's written here. In fact, they try to go and find different meanings of things and change the whole word, change the Bible, because it doesn't suit them. And that's the same thing people did at the time of Christ. Yes, there were people who the Lord fed the 5,000, the Lord cured people, he healed people. There were people who believed that he did those things. But yet they didn't give themselves to him because he didn't do things in the way they would have wanted it to be done. In a way that would suit their traditions and their culture. So I'm sure half of them or three-fourths of them walked away saying thank you for the healing, thank you for the miracle, but you know, we can't believe that you are the Messiah. There are people who walk around today who know Jesus but don't believe he's the Messiah. And that's a sad thing. And the reason why is because they don't live their lives out as Christians. They don't live their lives doing what the Lord wants us to do. We have one chance, dear brothers and sisters. Don't take it for granted because we are saved that everything will be all right. Don't take it just because we know the word that everything is fine. We got a lot of work to be done. We got a lot of work to be done before the Lord comes to take us. And I can't guarantee you we have a lot of time. But I know we got a lot of work to be done. Just remember when you see a Lazarus around you, wherever you are, just remember that you are the rich one. You are the rich person. And you have the ability and the power to say something nice to that Lazarus. You don't have to only give Lazarus a few pennies. You can also take out a note if you feel like. I could probably, you know, won't change his or her life, but he might be able to become a friend to that person and maybe the next time lead that person on the right road. And that person will listen rather than, you know, just passing by and saying you deserve what you. I'll leave you with that thought, you know, that there is a Lazarus somewhere around each one of us. When you see him or her, remember that you are the rich man and the rich woman. And God wants you to be a working Christian, not just a quiet one. Make some notes. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. And I believe, Lord, there's a message for each one of us here. Not just a message, but a reminder. I pray that you strengthen us spiritually, Lord. Bless us. Give us the confidence. Give us the boldness. At times when we want to do something, but we don't. Bless us with that boldness that we need, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.